Truma. Parsha's Truma. This is the parsha of the construction of the Mishkan. So, if you've never done this before, it's very worthwhile to go through Chumash and Rashi with books that have pictures to get a sense of what the Mishkan looked like. There are a lot of Sfarim like that nowadays. There are a lot. The Art School Chumash and Rashi has, the Art School, you know, the various Chumashim have. So, you want to do this, okay? Picture of the Aron, picture of the Shulchan, picture of the menorah.
Ooh.
Right.
Ooh. And, the,
and they show you how they were built, okay? So you have to do that, okay? You want to go through Chumash and Rashi with the pictures. Is that clear? Very important to do that. Okay? I'm not aware that Rav Avadya Zatzal has written a sefer on what everything looked like, but you still have to learn it anyway. Is that clear? There is Torah outside Rav Avadya. Okay, fine. Now let's go. Now, there's a huge number of Rashis here. And what I want to do now is just focus on the Mishkan and the Aron. The Mishkan and the Aron. Okay, so here we go. So first of all, okay, Rashi says, Vikli Truma, famous Rashi, it says the word Truma three times. So Rashi says there were three Trumot. There were three donations made to the Mishkan. Okay? There was one, everyone gave a Becca, a half shekel of silver, and that went for the and all of Am Yisrael donated the silver. Well, what were the Adonim? What are the Adonim? Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, Mem. What were they? The sockets that held up the wooden beams, the crushim of the Mishnah. These were the Adonim. Look here. Look, these were the Adonim. These were holes. These were silver sockets. And the wooden beams went into these sockets. So, yes, you've got to learn the Chumash and Rashi. There's no option. You have to do it. We carefully with the pictures.
Okay.
Yes, for these two parashas, you must do it.
Very clear.
Very good. Very good. Excellent. These are the sockets. So, the Bnei Yisrael donated silver that went for this. Excellent. That was one. Next, there was another donation. Everyone gave a half shekel that was used to buy the Korbanos Tzibur. In other words, this is why we have the Korbanos Tzibur, the Korban Tamid every day, and the Korban Musaf, the Korbanos Musaf, were bought from communal money. This is a big deal. It's all of Am Yisrael. Let's say you're a rich guy, and you wanted to say, listen, I want to give $1 billion, and I want to have the schus that all of the Korbanos Tamid for the year come from my money. You can't do that. It has to come from the communal money. That was a yearly collection. Everyone gave a half shekel. The fiscal year in the Beis Hamikdash began Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So starting Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you had to use the new money. So when would they announce it? Rosh Chodesh Adar. So that's why we have Parsha Shkolim. It's always around Rosh Chodesh Adar. Parsha Shkolim is a Zecher. They used to announce, get your half shekel in, bring it into the Beis Hamikdash, so we'll have money for next year. And that's Maseches Shkolim, talks all about that. So the first half shekel dedication that was made for the Korbanos Tzibur was here. Rashi mentions it here. I'll call you in a second. That was the second dedication. And the third dedication was whatever was needed for the Mishkan, the gold, the silver, and all of the material, the Mishkan. Got it? Those were the three collections and dedications that were made. That's the famous Rashi. Okay? And that's the concept of Korbanos Tzibur. Yes. What do you want to ask? You know what?
Socket, carbon,
and the Mishkan and Aron in general. The first two were half shekel of silver.
Four silver.
And the last three were is everything. Yeah.
One of gold.
So the Mishnayos describe what happened if they had extra leftover money, what it was used for. That's in the Mishnayos and Shkolim. Okay. So that's a famous Rashi you have to know. Let's continue. Next, Atzei Shittim. They used that wood for the Mishkan. Where'd they get wood? In the Midbar. So there's a world famous Rashi here. Atzei Shittim. It's in Pasuk Hei. Umayayin Hayalem Bamidbar. Rabbi Tanchuma says, Yaakov Avinu Tzafa Beruach HaKodesh. Shasid in Yisrael Libnos Mishkan Bamidbar. Hevi Arazim Limitzrayim Unatom. Pitziva Laban of Litam Imam Gershom Mitzrayim. Wow. Yaakov planted trees, brought trees, and planted them in Mitzrayim. And he said, you're going to use these trees to build the Mishkan. That's an amazing thing. This shows that the Emunah in the Geula was there from the very beginning. That it's all one. We've said this before. Jewish history is one long continuum. When Bnei Israel went down to Mitzrayim, Yaakov already was planning for the Geula. So he brought the wood down. And Rashi earlier in Chumash Bereishis says, where did this come from? Who planted this originally? Avram Avinu planted these in Beersheba, and they were uprooted and replanted. So already from Avram Avinu, the plans were being made for the Geula from Mitzrayim and the rebuild and the building of the Mishkan. That you need something tangible to have you have strength in your Emunah for the future. So the Avos had the trees. You got it? So if you're in Mitzrayim and you're going through a hard time, you knew those are the trees that Yaakov Avinu, our great great grandfather, told us to plant. We're going to use them to build the Mishkan. That's the way the Jews had chizuk in Mitzrayim. You got it? That's this Rashi. Yeah. This is a very good book. But you should do it. You have to do it once. You do it more than once. You have to do it at least once. You have to get a sense of what the Mishkan looked like. Next. Pasuk Ches is a world-famous Pasuk. V'yasu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. What does it translate into English? Make a sanctuary so I will dwell among... I will dwell... b'socham. Them. Not it. That's the famous comment. It should have said, antecedent, it should have said, Vishachanti bisocho. Doesn't say that. It says bisocham. So what do you see? So all the Mefarshim say, our first develops this a lot. The purpose of the Mishkan is to inspire us to serve Hashem well. Where? Where? Where do you? At home. This is in Parshas Tetzav. That's the longest essay in the book. Very long essay. It's about the goal is always daily life. You come to Mishkan, you're inspired, you see, woo, the Kabanos, you're inspired, you hang out in Yerushalayim. What was in Yerushalayim back then? We discussed what was in Yerushalayim back then. It was not the Beis HaMikdash. What was in Yerushalayim? Dozens of yeshivas. The Beis HaGadol had 71 the Gedolim. What did they do the whole day? They didn't sit, they spent a few hours a day in the Beis HaMikdash. They had yeshivas. All the big yeshivas were in Yerushalayim, or many of them. You got it? So you'd come to Yerushalayim, you were inspired. What's the goal of being inspired? To go home. And when you're home, and it's Shabbos, you have more ruchnius at your Shabbos table. You don't yell, and you treat your wife with more properly. You have more patience with your kids. You bench with kavana. You have simcha and mitzvahs. You got it? Got it? That's this pasuk. V'shachanti b'socham. The year in Israel. The year in Israel. Yeah? What's the goal of the year in Israel, for the 2 years in Israel for you guys? What's the goal? That your regular life, when you get back, is at a high level. You got it? It's not just here. Got it? Correct. Cheshvan's in the essay too. That essay has, in other words, that essay in Tetzave, next week's Parsha, 2 weeks, I have that. That's like, in other words, everything that our first says about this, I put it all into one. That's why it's very long. It's Cheshvan. Is into what?
It's all like inspiration and then building off.
Beautiful. Great. Good. Very good. Inspiration and very good. So this is the pasuk. It does not say bisocho. That's what you would have expected it to say. Because the goal is not to be in it. The goal is to be in them, in us, once we leave. You with me? There's a big yisod. And this is what Avino always says, right? You're a part of Yeshiva, is a part of you. You take it with you. This is the pasuk. Bishachanti bisocho. So anytime you give a Torah about this, but anytime you have a friend who gets engaged, you're going to speak at his engagement party. You're going to speak at his Sheva Brachas. You talk about, oh, he came to Yeshiva and he kept it with him. V'shachanti b'socham. Got it? Well, that's something else. then you got to make other than eating. You got to be more creative. You have to be more creative. Is that clear? That's the pasuk. Yes. Now listen. You're allowed to ask. Don't worry.
I'm just going to make a joke about making the gematria about his third grade teacher. And
oh, very good. Gematria, very good. Gematria is very important. Gematria Sherev Brachos is very important. Well, I just saw Gematria. What is it? Okay, yeah. Gematria is, yeah, okay. There's a lot to do with gematria. The Gra. The Gra once sent a present to someone through a messenger. I'm sorry. Somebody once sent the Gra a present through a messenger. So the Gra says to the messenger, "Oh, go back and tell the guy thank you. Tell him dank. Dank is thank you in Yiddish. Dank. Dalad nun kuf." So the guy, he tells the guy. So the guy goes and says, "The Gra said dank." He said, "What?" He said, "The Gra said to say dank." He said, "The Gra only spoke Hebrew. So why did he say dank? Why didn't he say todah?" She sent him back to go ask the girl why he said Danka, not Toda. This is in the books. Next time he goes there. So the girl said, "Don't you know Dank is Gematria Olam Haba?" Exactly. And I want to give you a bracha that you gave me a present. You do chesed, you get Olam Haba for your present. So I said Dank, 154. That's the girl. Got it? It works out exactly. For Gematria, Dank. Dank is, I guess, it's Yiddish, I guess. Dalad Nun Kuf. Dank. Dank is great. German, Yiddish. 154, Olam Haba. Excuse me? What, for in general or for Gematrias? No, so I'm saying the Gra spoke in Hebrew, but for this Gematria thing, he switched. I don't know. That's a fair comment, and we're not the Gra. All right, let's go on, guys. Let's go on. We're just going to do the Arun, basically, and the Mishkan. Next. How is the Arun built? It says, Mibayisum chuz tetzapenu. How is the Arun built? You have to know this. This is the famous picture. Rashi says there were three Arons. Gold, wood, and gold. Arun was built. The outer one was wide. The middle one was a little thinner. And the gold one was a little thinner. The gold one had a rim to cover this on top. You got it? Then the kaporos on top. So this was 9 tefachim tall. Kaporos was a tefach. Any questions? You got it? You got the picture there? We'll get to that in a second. You see that? This, inside this. Then the kaporos on top. The kaporos was 1 tefach thick. Total of 10 tefachim. You got it? And Rashi explains that's the Arun. Now, what's the message of gold and wood? It's one of my favorite vorts. It's got to be in the book somewhere. What does gold symbolize? What does gold symbolize? Gold?
Money.
Perfection, the ultimate, the highest perfection. Gold is the best. Woods, what does wood symbolize? This is a good one. What does wood symbolize?
Growth.
Trees grow. So our verse says that if we guard, what does the Aron do? What was inside the Aron? The luchos. It's a beautiful vort. If you put the luchos in the Aron, so it guards the luchos. If you guard the perfect golden Torah, then you develop and grow like a tree. That's my verse. That's worth $1 million. That's what he says. That's why the Aron is gold and wood. He says, as opposed to the Reform, who changed the Torah, they're not going to grow like trees. Our job is to guard the perfect Torah. Then there's the Kaporis. Correct. Very good. The Torah is beautiful on the in and on the out. Excellent.
It's supposed to grow with the Torah.
Correct.
To change it.
Correct. That's why the phrase in English is called growth through Torah. That's the phrase. There's a book called Growth Through Torah. This is like the Jewish approach. And you can. Now the Kaporis. So here's the Kaporis. This is Rav Hirsch, $1 million, this shot. The Kaporis were the Kruvim. Now look at this. The Kruvim, the Kaporis and the Kruvim were one thing. This was a Tefach thick, and the Kruvim came out of the Kaporis. And they had their wings out here, 10 Tefachim. So this spot was the holiest spot.
What,
the holiest spot. This spot in between. We'll see in a Rashi this spot. this spot was 10 tzvachim above this. The Rashi says later, there are two psukim. One pasuk says, Hashem's Moshe, inside, the voice came from the Kodesh Kodashim. Another pasuk says, Moshe heard the voice in the Ohel Moed. So what's going on? So Rashi says, Hashem's voice came down from Shemayim. It came down, whatever this means, to this spot, Bein HaKruvim.
Right here?
Yes, right there. And then from there it shot out into the Ohel Moed. So Moshe did not go into the Kodesh Kodashim when he heard Hashem speak in the Mishkan. He stood in the Ohel Moed outside, but the voice came from here. Now, it says, see they're looking at each other and down a little? That's what it says. The Kruvim face each other. El HaKaporis Upnei HaKruvim. Their faces face slightly downwards towards the Kaporis. So you have these things, the wings cover the Kaporis. They're looking down as if they're what? As if they're guarding the Kaporis. And what does the Kaporis do? What does this do? It protects what? The Luchos. You see what's happening here? This is amazing. This thing, the Kaporis, look here. This Kaporis is what protects the Luchos. This box is hollow. Right? The Luchos are inside. The Kaporis protects the Luchos. And the Kruvim protect the Kaporis. So the Kaporis, in a sense, this is what Hirsch says, this is amazing, protects, it guards the Torah, then it protects itself. Do you buy that? The Kaporis guards the Torah, then the Kaporis itself ends up protecting itself. That these things, which are part of, it's Mikshachas, it's part of the Kaporis, they put their wings over the Kaporis, looking down as if they're guarding it. What's the pshat? This is the pshat. The Kaporis is Am Yisrael. Our job is to protect and guard the what? The Torah. And if we do, then Hashem's going to guard us. Oh. That who decides whether Hashem's going to guard us? We do. So in a sense, we become our own self-protectors. If we do our job guarding the Torah, then we get Hashem to guard, in a sense, Hashem, Mida Kineg Mida guards us. That's the pshat. The Kaporis guards the Torah, the Kruvim guard the Kaporis, which is guarding the Torah. But it's one piece. That's our first.
We decide when God protects us.
No. That's how Hashem made the world. Hashem made the world that if we do the mitzvahs and guard the Torah, He's going to protect us. So the point is, meaning it's up to us. That if we do our job,
then the Kruvim will come out.
Will come out and they'll protect us.
From us.
All right, that's okay. There's a famous pasuk, the badim are never removed. Lo yashurim imenu. These badim can never be removed. By the shulchan, you can remove them. These rings, you can't remove them. It's usher to remove them. It's a lav. The rings, these rings, it's usher to remove them. So why is that true? There are many pshat in why that's true that the mefarshim give. Rav Hirsch gives his pshat. What do the kruvim represent? What do the bold poles represent? Always ready to move. That the Torah, the way it is always ready to go wherever it has to go. You don't change it. Keep it the way it is and carry where it needs to go. All right. Next. Right, we did.
Why wings though? Why? Like, what is the deep meaning? It seems like such like a kid friendly thing. Like, oh, these two children with wings. Yeah.
Excellent question. You have to look at the Mepharshim. That's a good question. What's the symbolism of wings? I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure it's discussed in the Mepharshim. I never worked on it. That's an excellent question. You look at the Mepharshim. You know what's the symbolism of wings? Okay, so that's that. That's Rav Hirsch on the Aron, and that's Lo Yasur Mimenu. Never remove. Here, guys. Here. Okay, then there's the Shulchan. Guys, you must know how the Shulchan looks here. There's more Rav Hirsch here. I'll show you quickly. Look here. The Lechem Aponim had bottoms, and then they faced upwards too. So it's like it's as if each one was holding up the one above. That's what our first. That's his symbolism. It's like they reach up. They're not just. So our first says the symbolism is that if you have money, use it to help others. Yeah, I mentioned that. Beautiful pshat. The shulchan, he meant to use it to help others. That's what he.